Hey, this is Lawrence with a quick introduction. While we were recording the game segment on this, we ended up doing some bits that were very funny at the time, but looking back on them, we're like, it would be better if people who weren't in our group chat and didn't have all of the in-jokes and context never heard these, so we went ahead and cut them. If you're going through the game section and you're like, this is a little bit choppy, or here's this stray reference to something I don't get, that's what's going on. Apologies, but, you know. There's things that are perfectly fine jokes to tell between friends, but that a stranger would, you know, be off-put by, and we decided to err on the side of caution. I hope you enjoyed this episode. My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio. Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This week we're doing an old time radio episode, which means that Daniel Dowdy from the Cannonball and Thunderdome podcast is joining us again. And I always pick the old time radio. And this time I'm like, what if we did Fear on Four? Because the last one, just a great episode, right? That's sort of sarcasm. It's one of our more complicated episodes because of the sheer amount of sexual horror in it. And
it was one where we felt very uncomfortable making jokes.
Yeah. So. Because, yeah. This one,
because we were so turned on. Yes. We didn't know how to right. Put that in words.
That kind of kills my humor.
You know, it's like, how do you do it?
You can't laugh with an erection. Everyone knows it.
Cannibalism? The hottest thing there is.
And implied sexual hypnosis slavery? Yeah. Well, no, yes. I'm not even as a joke. That's not sexy to me. Anyways, no. So I picked another Fear on Four, and this one I maintain is one of the few times that Fear on Four tried to be funny. Although, as I was listening to the episode, I'm like, wait, am I sure that they're trying to be funny? I remembered it as a funny episode, and if it is, it's a weird one. So we're listening to Gobble Gobble, which, as the title suggests, is kind of their holiday episode themed around Christmas and the English custom of eating turkeys at Christmas. Yeah, so let's go around and what do you guys think of this? I'll go first. This one wasn't as weird as I remembered. It's basically just a pretty bog standard Fear on Four. It's got exceptional production values and it's upsetting. I think I probably, like, if you're into Fear on Four, I'd listen to this, but, and maybe even seek this out because Fear on Four is sort of the best in the business at this or one of them. But as far as like, once you accept that this is a Fear on Four episode and therefore good, it is not extraordinary as a Fear on Four episode. Dan, what do you think?
Well, I've come to the conclusion that there's really something of interest to be had in any half hour of horror radio, because like everything you've brought me on to talk about on the show has had like some element of interest to it, and this one of course sticks with that trend. It was unexpected. Like, I'll give it that. Like, I felt like I sort of knew where it was headed a couple times and it really wasn't. So I will give it that for Zagan. I recommend it. It's pretty good.
Ronald, what do you think?
Yeah, this is an excellent episode of radio. I mean, the sheer amount of polish on this thing is crazy compared to a lot of the shows that we listen to. But I have listened to some of the other Fear on Four episodes, and I will say, for a Fear on Four episode, this isn't the strongest compared to, like, basically, this is probably like top five in the radio episodes we've listened to for the podcast, though. So, you know, that just kind of tells you the quality of the show.
But I think that if you had listened to all of Fear on Four, this might actually be one of the worst ones. Not that any of them are bad, but you know,
yeah, this one I kind of had mixed feelings on. It was quite good. In terms of quality, I think that there was some like good horror in it, but I'll kind of get into the things I didn't really like too much when we get into the low points. But I don't think this one really stuck with me as much, or like will stick with me as much as some of the other really good ones. So that's kind of my feeling on it. It's a really good episode of radio. If you go listen to other Fear on Four if this sounds interesting, or maybe, you know, if you like the Christmas theme, this might be a good like Christmas.
There actually are two much better sort of Christmas or winter themed Fear on Fours. His last card and the inaugural episode of the Snowman Killing are both much stronger. Well, not much, but
oh yeah, the Snowman Killing is really good.
Oh yeah, that one's so fucked up. Anyways, Rahul, what do you think?
Like everyone said, it was put together very well, but I do not recommend it because I thought it was a little too linear. Also, because just my morals, personally, I don't recommend anything with turkeys in them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would know that about me if you'd listen to this whole show.
Is it because I always used to call you a turkey?
I don't want to talk about it, dude.
Yeah, throughout high school, Rahul's nickname was the Jive Turkey. He hated it. It was very inexplicable, frankly, because none of us were beatniks.
Well, I was going to say, like, yeah, was this like some sort of time-traveling bully who... Like,
I think nickname.
Those are the worst guys, man.
some greaser from 1961 got catapulted through time to give you a hard time.
There he is.
Rahul kept telling us to call him that, and then he got all offended. It's like I don't know what he wants.
I wonder if this was another one of Rahul's evil twin brothers' tricks. Just showing up and being like, nah, call me a jive turkey. Then Rahul comes in and is like, oh shit.
Well, what do you mean, another one of my... another one?
You've got another chapter in the long story.
Having an evil twin.
And him playing pranks on you, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, that prankster.
But his evil is expressed mostly in very low-grade pranks.
I felt like this would almost make a better movie, the story, than it would a... radio episode.
What do you mean? Oh yeah, okay, we can get into it when we talk about the episode. I'm interested in what you mean by linear.
Anyways, let's go ahead and summary. Let's talk about it.
Let's do the summary.
Okay, one sec. I'm gonna just go straight from the top, so I'll be 1-2, Ronald 3-4, Rahul 5-6, and Dan 7-8.
Sounds good.
All right. It is Rahul, actually.
All okay, right,
Rahul. 1 minute on the clock.
Okay.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Mute.
All right. So this opens with a farmer's bull that's being slaughtered by like some government officials. He's very unhappy about it. He makes that very clear. Later, an inspector comes to the farm, like at late at night or something, to negotiate with the farmer, whose name is Mr. Carter, over the compensation for his slaughtered bull. His bull had, like, mad cow disease or something, but he's scared of turkeys. Anyway, the farmer somehow locks him into a turkey pen and refuses to feed him and basically tortures him. Mr. Carter, eventually, he's like, I'm going to make all the turkeys panic by shooting this gun. He shoots the gun, and then the scene pivots away from that whole scene. All the turkeys are panicking. The inspector's colleagues go looking for him. They go to Mr. Carter's place. They find Mr. Carter dead in the lawn. He shot himself. And Martin was the inspector's name. He's in the turkey pen. He's babbling and insane. He's been eating the turkeys because the dude wasn't feeding him.
But you've pretty much finished. Aside from, I'd like to point out that when he shot to scare the turkeys, he was actually shooting himself in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent, Rahul.
Yeah. Really good summary. Shockingly good. Suspiciously good.
It's almost like you wrote it down ahead of time, violating the spirit of a Rahul summary. Anyways, so I guess let's go to some high points. Yes. So I'll go ahead and take the obvious one, which is just, this is Fear on Four. The actors all know what they're doing. The sound effects are great. The score is good. And although I think I gave you guys a slightly inferior recording, the sound quality on this is also miles ahead of most other old time radio shows.
The general polish is excellent.
Yeah.
This is clearly like a professionally edited.
Yeah. And I think your point to the actors being on point, I think especially the farmer, Mr. Carter, that was an excellent performance with just the kind of barely contained rage and turning that into kind of that snide toying with kind of, I don't know. It was a really, really cool performance, from that gentleman. I really just, the menace was dripping from the speakers.
He was quite scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the part where Martin's like asking what he wants, and he's just like, "I don't want anything." Like,
yeah. Yeah, right. Very, it's just like there's no menacing. Reasoning with him.
Anyone else got a high point?
I liked the Christmas theme. I thought it kind of worked well. Of like this like horrible scenario that has to do with starving, mixed with like a little bit of cozy Christmas music cut in every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic there I thought was really good, and just it added a little bit of a creep factor. And I just thought it was kind of cool. I just kind of liked it.
Yeah, I mean, there's
I just thought of another high point I had. I thought it was a cool touch toward the beginning. There was the kind of after the initial confrontation with the farmer, which took place the previous summer, and they've flashed ahead to Christmas time, and we have the Martin, the flustered civil servant, kind of trying to graciously exit like a holiday party to go get some work done to go check in on the farmer to help his case. But having the touch of like, there's like, yeah, he's like, his wife has left, they've separated, and that kind of comes up, and having a clearly drunk woman really laying it on thick, like, hey, I'm all yours if you want it, buddy. I thought that was kind of an interesting touch, because it's not like, I'm not saying it's like, oh, now he has something to live for necessarily. So like, I'm not going to say that's a reason to live, but I thought it was interesting to sort of juxtapose like my wife left me, but also with like, hey, I still got it to like sort of, I don't know. I thought it was an interesting touch, and I couldn't tell you what specifically it informed about that character necessarily. It was just an interesting detail. And I really liked how it was thrown in there just for texture, honestly.
Gave a little bit of unexpected depth.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. sketch him in. This is only like 23 minutes long or something, and they do a very good job of sort of sketching in a character for him. It's not a character that matters particularly for what happens to him, but then right. I don't think that really. This isn't a story where the trauma is like specific to him, except for the fact that he is somewhat conveniently slightly scared of poultry for some reason. But they still set him up as a character really quick, and then you get to watch the horrible thing happen to him after you kind of like him. Yeah. Good work.
Best kind of horror, right?
Yeah.
It has to happen to somebody if it's happening to somebody you don't like, it's not really horror. It's just
What I've said before is if a bad things happen to a bad person, it's comedy. If bad things happen to a good person, it's tragedy or horror, depending on whether the person gets hit with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Anyways, the high points of this one are actually kind of hard because it's basically just the entire episode, really.
Yeah.
I want to get a high point. I feel like the farmer's suicide was a high point, because I thought he was shooting Martin. I mean, obviously it all set it up so that you would think that, but it was well done. I didn't see that coming, because I thought they were going to like go there, and then Martin was going to like menace them with a gun or just not be there. But I was like, oh, shit.
He blew himself up. Yeah. He's just going to kill himself. Scarier,
more realistic thing.
Although I was kind of angry at him because he didn't properly make arrangements for his dog before he killed himself.
That's really sad.
Yeah. That's bad dog ownership.
I noticed that as well, and I literally did think, oh, Lawrence's heart must be hurting for that poor dog.
But that the dog part was like another bit of audio engineering that was like just a little touch, not really important to the episode, but like really I felt like deepened the entire thing. The fact that they had like dog noises of like what sounded to be a starving dog. Kind of sad and tragic, and like they could have easily not had that part in the episode, and then didn't really change anything plot wise, but it just kind of deepened like, oh yeah, this guy had a life and killed himself.
Yeah.
This is a sad story about a man forced to eat turkey.
I mean, live turkeys.
Lawrence, what was the original air date for this one?
Give me a sec. It's going to be like middle to late 80s.
Okay, yeah.
Looks like December, I'm seeing December 24th, 1992. Oh, right, because of how the British work their seasons. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that lines up because we discovered turkeys in the 90s. So.
Yeah, turkey was invented in the 80s, but it didn't really catch on until the 90s.
Exactly. Yeah. That was, it was a new thing. Subway first introduced it, so you could have a turkey sub. And it just took off from there. I was asking because I thought it was neat that this is situated very, like, topically with the first outbreaks of mad cow disease. That's like the late 80s, early 90s was when you had the first big outbreaks of mad cow disease in Great Britain and Ireland. And it really did devastate livestock farmers across the country. Because of course it's a horrible disease. It's a horrible disease that spreads in part because of horrible practices. I don't know how much you guys know about.
Oh yeah,
mad
cow
disease.
You make a cow eat
a cow's brain,
and then you get, and then it gets cow kuru.
Exactly, that's exactly it.
Damn it!
I got another kuru reference. Dan, you may not know this, but me referencing kuru is one of the weirder running bits.
It's a running gag.
It's not even really just on the podcast. Yeah, it's just in Lawrence's life.
Every moment.
Oh boy.
Lawrence is thinking all the time, like, what if I ate that dude's brain?
No. That's the thing. I'm anti it. I'm trying to raise awareness of it to help combat the scourge.
You're kind of a spooky guy, huh, Lawrence?
I was recently at a party and somebody said, like, fun fact, did you guys know that, like, you can get a prion disease from eating another human? And it's like, oh, God. Yes, I know.
Here we go again.
Trust me, I know. I've been told many a times.
And that's why I'm so against funerary cannibalism.
That's your signature political issue. You're a one issue voter.
Is it only herbivores that can get kuru?
Sorry, could you repeat that? I had a timer going off.
Is it only herbivores that can get like a kuru like disease?
Well, we're not.
No, I think it's literally just anything that eats itself. You're at risk for the prions like that.
Well, I mean, like, cats eat each other all the time, but I haven't really heard of.
Oh man, this is a great. I'm glad I branched it out. Cat prion disease.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh no!
There's what? Hell yeah! This is awesome. It's called feline spongiform encephalopathy.
Shit.
And it is caused by the same agent that is responsible for bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Which is mad cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so. It is probable, but not proven that the animals contract the disease by eating contaminated bovine meat.
Oh.
I kind of assume that, for feline.
Yeah. I kind of assume that it's easier to get kuru, or it's higher likelihood to get kuru, because our brains are bigger. And I mean, like, from what
there's
I understand,
there's just more material. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you like grind, if they only grinded up the non-brain part of the cow and fed it to the cows, it probably would never have spread, but they're probably throwing like every leftover bit into the grinder. That's my guess.
You guys remember when for a long time I told that insane weird lie about my grandfather getting eaten by a cow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a fun bit.
I never believed that. I don't know why I rolled it.
Because I expected the worst from both of you.
Wait, doesn't that mean you expected not the worst? You assumed he was telling the truth.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess we should maybe get back to the episode.
Yeah. Okay. I guess let's do some
is
low points.
Is anyone hungry right now, though?
Yeah. See, this is why it's so important. Yeah. You got to talk about the downsides of kuru, because Rahul at least is very tempted.
Well, I don't know about you guys.
Green. I don't know why.
I'm just glad that I've never heard of any such thing as mad pig disease, because that means I can get that nice tin of Armor pork brains and gravy. Have you guys ever seen that in the grocery store?
No.
Maybe that's just this thing in the South.
Actually, at the grocery store,
pork brain.
Yeah, well, I don't see it as much anymore, but like I imagine it must have been the kind of the same thing with like pickled pig's feet, where it's like old time like desperation holler Great Depression food.
I've seen pickled pig's feet before. I think because it's used in some traditional Mexican dishes.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I will
this
say.
Would be,
you go.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Lawrence. I'm sorry.
Well, I will say one thing that you will be shocked by in New Mexico is just how many different brands of menudo we have in our grocery stores.
Wait, like the band?
No. The soup made out of like pig intestines.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
Oh, man. Oh, Hispanic people often swear by it as a hangover cure.
We're learning so much about regional organ meats tonight.
Let's mail Dan a box of menudo.
As a gift.
And I will likewise send you guys a case of pork brains and gravy.
Pork brains and gravy, yeah. I'm glad there's gravy involved, because otherwise it'd be gross.
Yeah. the gravy is cerebrospinal fluid.
Oh, yeah. They're also packed as...
G-R-A-Y-V-Y.
They're also packed as pork brains and milk, if you would prefer that.
That's much worse. That's incredible.
Jesus.
That's exactly the response I was hoping for.
No.
Wait. I have a quick question, though. Is it pig milk or cow milk?
Or human milk? Maybe they're really twisted it up.
That's a really great question. I'm looking up now. Let's see. Rose Bran pork brains and milk gravy, 5 ounce can.
God damn. Now, Raul, you're saying it's disgusting, but think of the protein.
That nutrition profile, baby.
Do you guys want to take a guess on the daily value of cholesterol to be found in a serving?
Oh, God. I'm going to guess 10,000%.
Wait, how much can you die? One can.
So it's about 2/3 of a cup is one serving. That has a 1,060% of your daily value of cholesterol in it.
How can they sell that legally?
Because they told you, Lauren.
You can make your own choices, buddy. This is America.
Does brain matter have more cholesterol?
Yeah, it's almost all cholesterol. It's the every neuron is like the you have the axon, right? The central part, and it has all the little branches coming off. And all those branches are covered with I forget the term for the tissue, but it's like myelin. Yeah, thank you. But yeah, it's like this cholesterol lipid coating on that whole dendrite. And that's your entire brain is made of that stuff.
Wow.
So it probably tastes great.
I can't imagine it does.
Here's a user review for Rose Bran pork brains and milk gravy Bill Johnson 11 months ago. Loved this product. Use it for the past 5 years. Sometime one could find it and sometime could not. I have no political affiliation, but one can't blame Biden for everything.
What the fuck?
What?
Why did Veer into that direction?
He's just letting you know that this is one thing that we can't blame the woke mob and their communist dictator Joe Biden for.
We can't blame. I don't. Is he talking about the availability or how delicious it is?
Availability.
I believe the availability.
We can't blame Biden for how good.
Yeah, it tastes worse now. Like Biden's in office. Look,
people who have partaken of the woke mind virus, which might be related to Kuru, we don't know. They'll tell you that you shouldn't consume 1,000% of your daily cholesterol. But you know what?
In one serving.
How long would you survive before having like a heart attack if you were to eat that for? Is Bill Johnson still alive? Is my question.
I found a Facebook page devoted to pork brains with milk gravy, with like people talking about like supply chain issues.
Oh wow!
And like where you can find it, and where you can't. This is fucked up. I can't keep looking at this. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's get back to the less disgusting.
Do you just eat it out of the can, or do you cook it into something?
I think you're meant to scramble it into some eggs. So that'll help.
Oh,
with the
what? What?
You can't tell the difference between the eggs and the brains. You know?
You're like, okay, you know, shooting the mood? I'm doing that, but with cholesterol.
How much do you need?
I'm cholesterol maxing, bro. This is all part of my...
How could you possibly eat that?
You can't get massive brain gains without fucking myelin, dude.
I'm sorry.
He's got a point.
He's got a point.
You know, like, have you read Lawrence's book yet?
Yeah.
You gotta get smarter, you gotta start mainlining butter.
You gotta eat the brains way. So that you can and reshape your skull.
You know, it's anti-eating your eating brains, I think, because that stops you from being psychic but makes you smart but insane. Oh, that's great. So we got both of my writing we got both of my writing gags in this. We got my racist book and Guru. Anyway,
you should have put that in the plugs, you know? Yeah. In case anyone wants to know more.
Okay, low points. I'll go first, which is to make this work, they have to give the guy a phobia that I've never heard of anyone having. And that's probably a sign that it's not like super good. Maybe they should have done
It's definitely not a ubiquitous fear.
They probably should have put in some, like, maybe a little bit in his backstory about why he's scared of turkeys but took a job with the Department of Agriculture.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was like it was chickens.
They could have taken
it was chickens that set him off.
I mean, they do mention that he mostly does office work, but still, if you're scared of, you know, spiders, you probably don't take a job as an exterminator or at an exterminator company, even if you're just working in the office most of the time, you know?
But maybe the spider farm's the only job, so you got to take it, you know?
That's true. Hard times.
Down the road, it's the only employer.
The nice part about the spider farm, you get a lot of eggs per season.
Now, what do we think the cholesterol content on Black Widows is?
A Black Widow brain?
I mean, just the whole thing. I can't imagine you're going to separate out the
just
brain.
Just popping them in there. I don't know. Like,
I kind of doubt there's much nutrition inside.
Well, that's why you eat a whole bowl of them, you know.
Oh, okay.
You're doing that thing V-maxing for venom maxing.
You know what you could do is you could add the spiders to the pork brain and have
to
all
the
your
eggs.
Macros. Yep, to the eggs. Yeah. Hit multiple species at once. Get the venom.
And that's how you become more powerful.
Yeah.
You wrap it up in a tortilla. That's what they call a Texas burrito.
Remind me, in Dracula, doesn't freaking what's his name? The guy who
Reinfeld?
Worships. Yeah, he eats a bunch of spiders or something because he's like
he does. He snatches vermin to eat, which is part of the animalistic nature of these backwards Easterners. Because you also have like Dracula is seen crawling across the walls of the castle like a lizard. You know, and then Renfield is gobbling up flies and stuff.
But Renfield has a whole theory, if I recall correctly, about how like he eats spiders or he eats birds that eat spiders that eat flies because then he ate like 100 things.
Yeah, and he's gonna get in their power.
So you know, if you eat 100 spiders in a bowl, you're getting you're not only getting those, but you're getting everything that they ever ate too. Just think about that.
But you got to make sure they're free range spiders. So they've eaten a bunch of flies. If they've just been like fed spider milk or whatever, it's no good.
Spider milk.
What the
fuck? I don't know. It's muscle milk, but for spiders. What do you want from me?
I'm not a farmer. Okay.
I have a low light. And this one might just be more personal preference or something, but I felt like this one, and I don't know, you guys could maybe, I don't know, let me know if I'm off base. There were a few moments where there was so much crosstalk, especially in like the party scene, that I had a really hard time, that combined with the accents, I had a hard time actually parsing what anyone was saying. And it might be also an artifact of like the, I guess the quality of the reproduction that we had or whatever, but that was part of the, that was a little less magical from the standpoint of like audio editing for me.
That is something that really takes a lot of getting used to. There's a couple of different ways you can do crowds in an old time radio show. This is one of the ways. The other one is just having like random noise in the background, which is even worse than this. I didn't mind it that much, but I could see especially someone who hasn't like just listened to this stuff nonstop for 20 years, it would probably throw you. The other thing is it's sort of like you're not actually supposed to pick up on a lot of it. It's more just supposed to create kind of a vibe.
Yeah, yeah. I think I don't know. I found myself not being able to follow sort of the main dialogue as well,
I'm with you, Dan. I had the same trouble at that part. I was like, what is happening again? And not only was it difficult to tell like what they were saying, but it was also difficult to know who was saying it. Like, I was like, wait, which character was that? Like, who am I
right. playing? Yeah, like the, yeah, it was a little confusing. Can you guys hear my really pissed off cat in the back?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's yeah. awesome. Okay.
Love that
I'm going to go let her out because she is starting to get, I'm a little worried she's going to turn me into pork grains gravy.
Pork grains and milk. That's cat's favorite food, I think. Okay, I have a low light.
Hit me.
I don't know what, I mean, I get that this is a horror and not everything has to have like a message. That's fine. I just don't really know what the takeaway from this story was supposed to be. I don't really feel like the main character was a bad person who was being punished. And I don't really feel like the farmer guy had a huge point. I take Dan's point of like, oh, hey, this was like set in a time where, you know, this kind of stuff really did happen. The mad cow disease was a real thing and it really devastated a lot of farmers. And so I guess from a historical perspective, it's like, okay, I guess we're seeing like the pain of that time into a more intense episode. But as just an episode on its own, and of course you can't take anything on its own without context, but it's just an episode on its own. I just don't really know what this story was trying to say, because the guy killed the cow for a good reason. It's not like he did it to gain for profit or, you know, to fuck over the farmer or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The thing about, so this is sort of a fear on four thing, basically, where most of their stories, sometimes it will be that someone has done something wrong and the act is catching up with them. But most of them are just eruptions of sheer irrationality and horror onto a person who really did nothing to deserve it. Like, it's often not even they, like, went to the wrong place or anything. This guy, maybe he went to the wrong place a little, although even then he was trying to be helpful. But some of them are literally, like, you talked to your neighbor and he was having this, like, just inexplicable thing happening to him. Or you tried to write an opera and a Welsh god ate you. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I kind of got a real, it was a real kind of Johnny No Hinges kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's like Matt ran into him on the wrong day.
Someone who's more or less minding their own business, or, you know, just going about their life, ends up colliding with someone who is undergoing some kind of extreme emotional turmoil that they're going to take out on this innocent bystander.
Yeah,
for sure, for sure.
Anyways, does anyone else have a low point?
I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I was thinking we could get to the game then.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this is actually a Rahul idea, although I think he might have suggested it as a joke. But basically, he's just like, what if we tried to pitch saw traps about someone?
It's the, would you like to play a game? Game.
Yeah. So I was gonna, let's do Rahul first, because I've got what I quite like for Rahul. So the thing is, all three of us will pitch a saw trap, and then the fourth person will pick the winner of the saw trap that they think would most effectively trap and kill them.
And Dan, just do you know the premise of, you know, have you seen Saw or
understand? I know the premises by vague osmosis. I've never sat with a Saw film.
Don't sweat it. I've only seen one, and it wasn't even the first one.
I think I can get the hang of it.
We watched a soft reboot of the Saw franchise for the pod a while back, and
But I think for the most part, the idea is the trap is something that punishes you for like a sin you committed.
Sure,
in your life,
or but it's often not like a sin that's actually like, you know, you stole money. It's although sometimes it's you stole a very small amount of money, so I'll kill you. But it will often just be you're experiencing ennui or soft feels you're not living up to your potential.
Yep.
So, anyways, let's do Rahul first, because again, I thought of what I really like. So, you guys cool if I pitch it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rahul, you know, you get gassed by a man in a pig mask, as, you know, befits Saw's signature move of having way too many bits associated with his murder. And you wake up and the puppet comes out and he plays the tape and he's like, Rahul Vora, for so long you have chafed under fiat currency. Now, you are free to leave, but first I must describe an amazing invention to you. Currency that exists entirely on the blockchain. We're acting out the act of mining the currency confirms the blockchain, and every transaction is confirmed multiple places, and it can never be altered unless someone were to seize a majority of the computation nodes and just alter the ledger, but that probably won't happen. And here is a very easy way of investing in that. And just if you'd like to invest, you may, but if not, you're free to go. And I feel that you're not getting out of there without your life savings.
No. I'm done.
He's just gonna make
more, Mr. Clown Man, tricycle dude.
It'll be the first day of the rest of your life, friend.
Have you heard Ethereum? What about Dogecoin?
It's like there's no trap. It's just,
well, there's a trap.
Why isn't he leaving?
It's like, oh, and you run out and he's like, okay, he overcame it, but then you just come back with like a new credit card you've applied for to buy more crypto. Anyways, Ronald, do you have a little pitch for how we're gonna kill Mr. Vora?
Yeah. Okay. So you go in, you wake up in a room and you see the little puppet and he's like, "For so long, Rahul, you've enjoyed the Resident Evil series, but what if the Resident Evil is within you?" And then you see a little T-virus and it's and it's in a glass on your hand. And he's like, "If you want to be free, you can destroy the T-virus glass and unleash it on the world, or you can stay here and die."
So before he's even done talking, I destroy it.
Shit, dude. That was real.
Wait.
You didn't hear the rest of it.
Also, the puppet is wearing Wesker sunglasses.
Like, you know, it like dries up the ocean, right?
It's like, where did you get that, man?
You're concerned?
I mean, I know I smashed it.
Exactly, but you already broke it. Yeah.
Where did you get that?
I don't know. I guess I don't know if that was a trap. I think you died, though.
I mean, yeah, everyone died except for Alice and I think the other like five people at the end of Resident Evil.
That get not resurrected? Well, yeah. We're going to watch them, so.
Yeah. Maybe.
Stay tuned.
It's been like a year.
Yeah.
It literally was last year. Anyway, and we never released. We got to get. Anyways, we can do the scheduling stuff off air. Dan, do you have a trap for our beloved Vora?
You know, honestly, like, listening to your guys, I feel like I don't know Rahul well enough. We need to, you and me need to hang outside of the show, man. And I'll have a better idea of how to utterly destroy you.
Okay.
Once we get to know each other.
Okay, let's do Dan next then.
Let's pitch Dan. Yeah.
Daniel. Oh, also Rahul, yes. Which of us won?
Oh, man, they were both good. They're both really good. Ooh.
I feel like Lawrence won because his was like a much cleverer trap than just the T-virus.
Also, mine was the scariest of all because mine was real.
We can't escape it. You know, we leave the podcast and it still exists.
Lawrence, you take home the prize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I'm going to do
Harrison.
God damn it. No. I hate that stuff. Anyways, let's do Dan next, and I got a good one for him.
Okay. Oh boy!
So, we're actually gonna play this a little bit. So, Jigsaw's like, "Daniel, for so long you've entertained your Twitter followers with your extensive knowledge of obscure facts, but now you must do this again with your life on the line." And the game is he's going to flash a topic and you have 10 seconds to come up with an interesting fact about that topic. And if you don't, you're just straight up dead. So first up, pterosaurs.
Oh, say it again.
Pterosaurs.
Pterosaurs. Yeah, they were coded. We only have a few fossils showing this, but they go way back. So it's presumed the entire group had these. But they were coated with these very tiny little filaments that were almost like halfway between fur and hair. It's a totally unique kind of body covering. But depending on when pterosaurs diverged from their dinosaur cousins, it may indicate that the last common ancestor of dinosaurs and pterosaurs already had feathers, and that feathers were an ancestral trait for dinosaurs.
Next up, the Plantagenet dynasty.
Oh, that's a real fun one. So, God, I mean, there's just so...
There's so much
to say. I hurry up, dude. Stuff. I can't... Okay,
oh, no!
Fuck. The trap is twisting around Dan's neck.
And of course, this is how I would die, being tortured trying to think of one cool fact.
Because you knew too many, not because you knew too few.
Right.
That was not good.
I got one. The name Plantagenet comes from the name for a special, like a certain kind of straw broom.
Okay. That is pretty interesting. Really? Now, Ronald, what's your pitch on how we're going to kill Dan?
Okay. Here's what's going to happen, Dan. You wake up and you see the puppet. And he says, "For so long, Daniel, you have mocked Timothy Zahn for his trilogy of books that were written back in the 90s. But can you say that you would do any better? You must come up with 20 Star Wars planet names, and they all have to have okay pronunciations, but also have to be Star Wars-y. Or else an angry mob of fans will tear you limb from limb."
You sound like Zoolander / Jigsaw at the same time.
Zoolander?
Jigsaw.
Jiglander.
Nope, that's
so that
different.
That would be pretty difficult. Come up with 20 would be a stretch, but I would borrow a technique from my friend Timothy and just reverse or scramble the names of people I know in Tampa. Which is where like half of the planet names came from.
But I feel like you might be tripped up a little bit there, because as far as I know, you don't live in Tampa.
Well, that's it looks like I'm dying.
Yeah, yellowbook.com.
I could change it to people I know in Birmingham, but that's just not the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's not gonna work. That's not Star
it's
Wars.
Not gonna fly.
Yeah, you need that space Florida feeling. Rahul, do you have a trap? I think maybe limiting to these to two a round might be a good idea, but if you got one, go for it.
Yeah, Dan, for so long you have walked by the pig brain in the supermarket without eating it.
And I suppose the death just comes from the cholesterol / guru.
No, you will make me breakfast with pig brain.
So Jigsaw's.
Until either you or I die. I don't know why it's supposed to change, but.
So, it's harder than you think.
Jigsaw's basically just making Dan into a terrible Denny's.
I open my competing chain Danny's, and our signature dish is pork brains and eggs.
And you have to sign a very extensive waiver before you're allowed to order it.
I guess this is some personal information, but I have talked about my blood pressure issues online and shit. Like, I don't care about it. All my stupid cardio stuff. I've recently gone on some cholesterol medication. So like, I think maybe even just like opening a can and smelling it would be enough to kill me outright.
Oh no.
Anyways, I may regret this one, but first off, Dan, who do you think won?
Oh gosh. I think I'm going to have to go with Ronald.
Yeah,
on this one.
That one's pretty hard, fucking hard to beat.
Just because I can see myself getting to like 17, 18, like there, and
the fans,
not quite making it. And it's just that much more bitter, you know?
you're like Nella. And then he's like, "That's not Star Wars-y enough."
That's not Star Wars-y enough. The idea of Jigsaw like adjudicating whether it's Star Wars-y or not. I'm over here like, Nierad. He's like, That's
all right, we'll count
borderline.
Yeah.
That sounds a little bit more like Warhammer, frankly.
You're a thin ice buster.
Anyways, okay.
I don't know what Jigsaw's voice sounds like. I haven't seen any of the movies where he talks.
Yeah, I'm just queuing off of you guys. So like, I'm I'm playing a game of telephone in the Jigsaw impressions.
But we do agree that he always starts his sentences with "for so long."
I assume that because Raul always says it.
Kept, oh, wait, no, that's real.
I mean, also, I don't want to watch those movies to find out, so.
How, you've seen them, though, right? You've seen at least a few of them.
I've seen two of them and hated them. Bianca was super into them in high school. I don't know. I love my wife. We're moving on.
It's there. It's on record.
Let's go. Said, but all right.
I mean, they're pretty popular movies. It's not like it's that shameful to like them.
They're very good movies to like if you're that kind of high schooler. But yeah. Once you gotta go, if you don't grow out of them, it's kind of a problem.
I love my wife.
My wife.
Anyways, you guys want to do me or Ronald next?
Let's do Lawrence.
Right. Okay. Raul, how are you going to fuck me up?
All right, Lawrence, you're kidnapped, but you can tell that you're in a plane. Suddenly a hatch opens and cold washes over you. Straps are shoved onto you like a backpack. Then a voice speaks. Lawrence, for so long you've enjoyed running. For your crimes, you will be entered into the Iditarod as a sled dog. If you successfully finish, you will be free. And they drop you out of the plane.
But, I mean, did they, like, introduce me to my team or anything? Do I have a parachute, at least? I think you said I had a parachute.
You have a parachute. That's it!
But do I have any, like, gear?
No.
So he just freezes instantly?
I think I am gonna just die, yeah. Like, you can stay alive in pretty cold temperatures for running, but, I mean, I can only run for, like, 4 or 5 hours tops. And it's going to take longer than that to do an Iditarod. So I am just going to die. Let me look how long the Iditarod is.
It's like so long. It's ridiculous. It's a perfect saw trap.
Yeah, it's 1,000 miles.
Saw trap is just an execution. Dude, I got the perfect saw trap. It's called a guillotine.
You might as well just not have given me the parachute. You're frankly wasting one.
For so long, your head has been attacked by your shoulder.
For your crimes, your head will be separated.
He doesn't really get a choice in the matter. He gets dropped into freezing cold temperatures with no gear.
Oh, God. It's so perfect for Saw.
I mean, it's good for those later Saw movies where they kind of lost track of everything.
Just don't give a fuck anymore.
And just made him a weird murderer. I mean, he was a weird murderer, but they made him a less weird murderer. Anyway, Ronald, how are you going to get me?
Okay. Lawrence, for so long, you have had hubris and claimed that you could destroy any animal on Earth in a fight. Now, 20 rabid gorillas would like to argue that point with you.
And then you just get beat to death by 20 rabid gorillas. You just get
beat to death by rabid gorillas.
You say that, but we know that I'm going to just defeat them. Obviously.
Well, I guess we would see.
You know, all of these are very strong traps. I like Rahul's dying instantly. I think I'm still probably going to give it to Ronald, though, because I think beating up 20 gorillas would be fun.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I mean,
it's okay to beat them up because they're rabid.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
going to have to put them down anyways. Might as
I
well
know
just...
if they weren't rabid, you would just be like, I would let them win.
Yeah. No cure for gorilla rabies, unfortunately. Wait, Ronald, are you sure they're rabid and don't have a certain prion disease?
You know, I didn't test them personally, so there's something wrong with them.
Anyways,
they're hungry?
They're the gorillas from Congo.
Yeah,
they're assholes.
They're dicks. There's not really any explanation for it.
They were bred to be jerks. Anyways, let's
and love fire. Don't forget that.
But they hate lasers.
Jump into volcanoes.
Anyways, Raul, what are you going to do to Ronald?
All right, Ronald, you've been kidnapped, and you wake up in some sort of distillery. There's a smell of fermenting oats that washes over you, makes you gag. You look around, there's a pile of bananas in the corner. A voice crackles out over a speaker. Ronald, for so long you've played Donkey Kong. Hatch opens up and barrels start rolling down. Your crunch, you successfully complete this level. You will be set free.
I love that my crime is playing Donkey Kong.
Jigsaw's a Sega man. He prefers Sonic.
Also, Donkey Kong promotes cruelty to animals. So,
yeah.
And
yeah, that was your real crime.
And clearly I'm okay with that because that's what I said. For
the other thing is it's a Japanese gang about gorillas from the 1980s. So fairly good chance it's racist somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's Lawrence. That reminds me of the friend of mine, actually my co-host on Thronderdome. It was one of our, it ended up being one of our debate segments. I kind of pissed in his Cheerios one day when I explained how the mythology episodes of the X-Files recapitulate anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And he thought I was a real jerk for doing that, like, affecting his enjoyment of the show. And I don't think Chris Carter was necessarily doing that on purpose. It's just, he was just, you know, he took inspiration from the UFO conspiracy milieu of the 80s and 90s, but he was not aware that that was, yeah, it was largely repackaged protocols of the Elders of Zion stuff.
Yeah. It's, but hey, those Monster of the Week episodes are pretty sharp still.
Hey, that's right.
Remember that when that guy was stretchy?
There was the stretchy guy. There was the gender ambiguous Amish guy.
Oh yeah.
There was that time when the PTA was a
strange episode.
There was that time when kind of nuts.
There was that time when the PTA were Satanists, but they were only culturally Satanists, so Satan got mad and killed them all.
Oh yeah. Oh, and there was that time that Monk was a scientist who shadow killed people.
Yeah.
And there was that time when maybe district or whatever assistant director Skinner was getting stalked by a dream demon, but they were being ambiguous, so you don't actually know what happened, and it was very frustrating.
Anyway, well, welcome to X-Files chat, a portion of the show where
there's also a part where a mud man killed some guy.
Yeah,
and by mud man, I mean I guess Golem. I don't know that it's explicitly stated.
Well, talk about anti-Semitic conspiracy. Never mind. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, really.
Let's move on.
Throwing that in there.
Anyways, Dan, have you proposed how you're going to kill Ronald?
No, I haven't. I think I've run into the same problem that I have with Rahul here. I don't have the depth of knowledge of one another that you guys have,
which is just resulting in
these completely hilarious scenarios.
But from these stories, you kind of know everything.
Yeah,
he's in a Donkey Kong.
That's pretty much all of it.
So I think I have a quick one for Ronald. From what I know about Ronald, that he plays Donkey Kong and he listens to Thronderdome. So here it is.
True.
For so long, Ronald, you've listened to and enjoyed Thronderdome, a Star Wars novels recap podcast hosted by Daniel Doughty and Ronnie Gardaki. And yet, you have never contributed to their non-existent Patreon. Will you be using this bone saw? Can you make your way over to where there's a stamped envelope and a $5 bill and mail it to Daniel?
Like, oh God, I've got to do it. I got to contribute to the arts. I got to stick it in Zahn.
Dan, I was pretty convinced for a second you were going to like use this as a backwards way of inviting Ronald on the show.
Like, oh man, I should.
I'm not nearly enough of an expert.
Yeah, but well, it would be fun. Yeah.
Ronnie and Daniel, have you heard these guys?
Oh yeah, they're next level.
Yeah.
Anyways. I don't think any of us have covered ourselves in glory here except for Daniel. So who won though? Ronald?
But this was a fun exercise. This was a lot of fun.
It was fun for you. It descended into cyberbullying for us, I feel. Anyways, recommendations and cautions? Okay. You know what, Raul, you go first.
All right. I'd like to recommend Lockwood & Co. on Netflix. It's based on a series of books by Jonathan Stroud, who wrote my favorite young adult series, the Bartimaeus Trilogy. And it's been fun. So that's
Is the Bartimaeus Trilogy where you get that thing you sometimes say of it has a pleasing symmetry, does it not? Hell yeah.
Oh.
I'm surprised.
I don't know what it means, but he says it a lot.
I haven't said that for a long time.
You said it a lot when you were saying it, though.
And, okay, are we also doing cautions? I'll do caution. So we're watching this movie for next time, and I couldn't even do it because it was so fucking bad. So now I have to rent it again, which is, like, really sad because I don't want to give money to the people who made it. I don't know if I want to spill the beans of the title of
it's,
the movie.
We talked a lot about it a lot. It's 2025, the world held hostage by the virus.
I think this movie is, like, beyond excruciating. Every time I'm watching it, I feel like I'm just, like, wasting. I've already wasted so much of my life, and that's just like
you only watch like half an hour too.
Oh, I know. And there's so much more.
Isn't this like a 2-hour movie or something?
I think it's 90 minutes.
It's only 90 minutes, thankfully. Mm. This is why I said you had to watch it, because you made me watch it.
I mean, his dad was in the hospital, and we thought that he might die, and Ronald was still like, "I don't care what happens. You're watching this fucking movie."
Yeah, that did happen.
That is accurate. Does not paint me in a great light.
Maybe try making some better decisions. Anyways, oh,
Dan, you gotta watch this movie, man.
You don't. You know what, Dan? You have to take it away.
You just caught
it. Anyways, Dan, you want to go?
Yeah. Why the heck not? So for a recommendation, if anyone out there has small children and you want to make sure that the cartoons they watch are not horribly irritating, there is a delightful little cartoon on Netflix called Puffin' Rock. It is an Irish production, actually out of Northern Ireland, I believe. But it's a little cartoon set on a little wind, you know, sea swept island off the coast of Ireland, focused on a family of puffins and their little friends, a little shrew, a rabbit, a hermit crab. And all the voice acting is just these, you know, little kid actors with these lovely Irish accents. It has a full orchestral soundtrack with this just beautiful little lilting songs, and has color commentary from Chris O'Dowd of the IT Crowd and numerous other Irish and British comedies. So yeah, if your, say, 2 to 5-year-old is looking for something fun to watch and you can't stand, you know, the shrieking shows, check out Puffin' Rock.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And as for a caution, don't eat pork brains and milk gravy. It's real bad for you. You will die.
From it's like prion disease, probably.
From a prion disease. If the prion disease doesn't get you, the cholesterol will.
The fact that it's 1,000% of your 1,000% one serving means that I wouldn't even do it as a joke. Like,
but in a way, that does save you time, because think about it. You get 10 days worth of cholesterol nutrition in one sitting.
That's for like whatever shitty guidelines they give the American people. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's for some crazy
probably the best case scenario.
Yeah. Like, it's insane.
That's for like lumberjacks who are like working 20-hour shifts.
I don't even think they need that much. You know, they need like carbs and shit. They don't need to be eating fucking pure cholesterol. That's crazy. Like, choose eggs over that.
Yeah.
I don't even get it. I don't get it.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go now. So my recommendation. So first, before I say this, I just want to stress movies are basically free to me because I got that Regal Unlimited thing. So I see a lot of movies that you would not expect just because I like going to the movies and it doesn't cost. It costs me like $20 a month. So if you go to, you know, like 3 movies, you know. But so this had been getting some good buzz on Twitter. So I went and saw Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Definitely the best Shrek movie. I checked out of the Shrek series after 2. But, you know, this one, it's actually good and charming. Puss, you don't need to have seen any of the previous ones. Puss realizes he's like this swashbuckling hero who happens to be a cat, and he realizes that he's on his last life. So he goes on a quest to try to get his like lives back from a wish. And there's other people going after it, including Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and an absolute monster, Little Jack Horner, played by John Mulaney. And it's just, it's pretty funny. Harvey Guillen is in it, and It's also kind of as like the comic relief character, and it's also kind of weirdly touching. And it has this like darkness to it, the way Shrek did, except its darkness is a little bit less sort of, I guess, mean. It's a little bit hard to explain. It is a movie that has great affection for most of its characters, even if occasionally like some mean things happen in it for the sake of a laugh. And the animation on it is gorgeous, and the action sequences are really good. So, you know, it's still a kid's movie by a major studio, so it's not like, oh my God, this like classic of cinema forever. But it is probably about the best case you're going to get going into a modern kid's movie from a big studio, and I would check it out. And for my caution, I read a novel called Where They Wait by Scott Carson. It's about an out-of-work journalist who goes back to his college hometown to write a puff piece about a meditation app. And the meditation app starts giving him like crazy dreams, and he's like trying to figure out what's going on, and it turns out there's a sinister conspiracy. It wasn't boring, which is the worst thing a novel can do to me, but it wasn't particularly scary. And the climax, considering like what actually turns out to be happening, I was expecting the climax to just like be all kinds of like supernatural like horror and nonsense, and it was pretty much a letdown. And I will forgive a lot in a book if it ends strong, but a novel that starts out okay and then ends badly is a lot harder to forgive for whatever reason, you know? Yeah. So that's it. Ronald?
Yeah, sure. So, okay. Mine are themed this week, which I sometimes try to do. And they're both action movies that take place on a plane.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so my recommendation is a movie called Executive Decision from 1996, starring Kurt Russell, directed by Stuart Baird. Now, Stuart Baird did not direct a lot of movies. Most of them did not do well commercially. He only directed, I think, three. He edited a bunch. But he directed this one, I think U.S. Marshals and Star Trek Nemesis.
Not
a great track record. Not a great track record. Basically, the other two are pretty bad. And I actually did enjoy this one, but I don't think it did very well commercially. This movie understood how to use Steven Seagal. And by that, I mean he dies in the first 5 minutes.
You know, the rumor on that is that he had a much bigger role originally, but he just irritated everyone so much they rewrote the script.
I believe it. But his character actually kind of works in this movie, and it's a very shocking turn. I'm sorry I spoiled it, but not really. It's pretty fun to watch still. It's not the best movie you've ever seen. Air Force One is a much better plane movie, but I did enjoy this one. It's like a little bit more timid. Like, it kind of approaches the whole thing from a lot of different angles, and it's kind of like a worst case scenario, like how do you retake the plane kind of deal. So I did enjoy it. And it's it's a classic 90s action movie. They have some big explosions at the end. It's fun. My caution is a movie called Nonstop from 2014, starring Liam Neeson, directed by Jaume Collet Serra, who is a director who's in the news lately because he directed Black Adam. He's also directed a few other movies. I'm blanking on what they were. Action movies, though. Not a great movie. Liam Neeson is basically a federal agent on a plane, and somebody sends him some anonymous messages basically threatening to kill everyone, and he has to figure out who it is on, because he knows it's on the plane because they're sending it on through a network that's like a private network on the plane, but he doesn't know who it is. And so it's like kind of supposed to be a mystery where he's like trying to figure out who it is. There's a very stupid twist towards the end, and the villains have the most, like, one of the dumbest motivations I've ever seen in a movie. But, you know, it was okay, but I would just, it's kind of a waste of time. I wouldn't recommend spending any time on this one. And that's it. That's it for me.
Okay. Rahul, Dan, you have real plugs.
Sure. Well, you can, as we've been discussing, of course, right now, you can hear me on the Cannonball podcast, and also Thronderdome. So really covering the gamut from the great classics of world literature to a half-baked IP tie-in cash-in novel from the early 90s. but of course, I'm proud of both of those shows. Thronderdome is the one most active right now. We're on a break between seasons because we finished the first book in the Thrawn trilogy of Star Wars novels. So we're going to be starting our second season covering Dark Force Rising here in a little bit. So now's the time to catch up, listeners out there. And let's see, any other plugs? Getting a good night's sleep. That's actually been, that's a real wonder. It's amazing what that can do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting a good night's sleep. I mean, especially when you haven't been, it's amazing.
Yeah. I'm my sleep hygiene is horrible. But I promised my wife tonight that I would come to bed directly after recording this podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not even run the risk.
I always know better. And then I'm always like, I'm just going to read a little bit or I'm just going to do a little bit of this. And then,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the next thing you know, you've read half of Usher's Passing in a Night.
Yes, that was, I could not put that. I have this problem when I come across a good book, I just can't stop. I have no control. It's just, I'll just obsessively read it, totally ruin myself. That was a great book.
Oh yeah. That book rules. Anyways. Rahul, do you have a joke plug for us?
I do not this time.
Okay. Well, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. Signing off.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.